Marco.
Hey, Mark.
Has
Hey,
joined.
We will begin with the L'shem Yehud, and then we will read and study the first Aliyah. L'shem Yehud Kut Shabarichu Ishkitevi Kilu Urchim Elut Kilu Kilu Urchim Elut. Le'achda l'shem yudhei bavate v'yehuda shalim shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayihinu amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kononei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kononeihu. I should have said we'll study both the first Aliyah and the second Aliyah. But initially just the first, which consists of 16 verses, and it's from Genesis chapter 23, verse 1 to 16. The number 16 connects to the male energy of Hashem's name, connects to the Yud, which is action, and the Vav, representing Zeran Pin. Zeran Pin represents emotions, so it's dealing with the actions of emotions. And the best way to control emotions is through binding by striking. Verse 1 in the Hebrew. Vayihu chayesara. Me'ashana ve'esrim, shana ve'sheva shanim, shene chaye sara. This is a very famous verse. It's essentially saying that there's three phases and three lives within Sarah's life. Three phases, three lives, different ways of understanding it, but it says that she lived 100 years, she lived 20 years, and she lived 7 years. Actually, it says she lived 100 year, 20 year, and 7 years. And there is much commentary on why it's phrased this way, especially because phrasing it this way is clearly more letters than would be if it just said 127. Verse 2. V'tamat Sarah b'kiryat arba, hi Hebron be'eretz Kanaan. Vayavo Avraham lispod l'sara v'liv kota. The letter kaf in v'liv kota is a small letter kaf. And small letters represent a connection to manifestation. And the letter kaf represents the palm of our hand, which is things, we do things with our hand. So it's dealing with the manifestation, but the word itself, believe kota, it deals with mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. So why is it a small kaf? Because it's dealing with physical aspects, the burial of Sarah. Even though the verse starts with the words, the life of Sarah, it's actually starting out dealing with the emotions of mourning and dealing with the manifestation of making sure the body doesn't decay in the open and it's put in the ground and so forth. But third verse. Wayakam Avraham me'al b'nei meto, v'idaber el b'nei chet le'mor. Ger v'to shav, anochi imachem, v'nu li ahuzat kever. Imachem b'echbera me'iti milfanai. This phrase at the beginning of this verse 4, Ger v'toshav, we'll see when we look at the translation, but it's usually a difficult idea to translate. We could see this, the toshav, as a connection to shuv, which is to return. The ger is a stranger or a convert. And there is a very special word called the ger tzedek, the strange tzaddik. And this word relates to that. Verse 5. Vayanu b'nei chet et Avraham lemor lo. Shemainu Adoni nasi Elohim. Ata betokenu b'mivchar kivarenu. Givor et metecha ish mimenu et kivro lo yikle mimcha mikivor metecha. Vayakam Avraham vayishtahu le'am haaretz livnechet. Vaydaber itam lemor, im yesh et nafshechem, likbor et meiti, milfanai shemau mi, biguli b'efron, ben sohar, vayiten li et be'arat, Abapela Asher lo Asher bikte Adehu bekesef Male hitne nali Tochem la achuzat kaver Be'efron yashev betoch Neched v'yan Efron ha'chiti et Avraham v'yazne v'neched l'kol b'ne v'ei shtariro le'mor lo Adoni shema'eni Asadenatati la Bahamara Asher Bolhanatati ha Leene Bene Ami Netati ha la Gibor Metecha Vaishtahu Abraham Lifnei am haaretz v'idaber el Efron v'yaznei am haaretz le'mor ach im atalu shemaini natati kesef hasadeh kach mimeni Adoni Shemaini. Eretz Arba Meot Shekel Kesef Eini Uben Hamahi Yet Medcha Kevor Vayishma Avraham El Efron Vayishkol Avraham Le Efron Et HaKesef Asher diber b'yaznei b'nehet arba meot shekel kesef over la'sofer. And now for the English translation. Verse 1. And the life of Sarah was 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriat Arba, which is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to eulogize Sarah and to bewail her. One question we can ask is, don't we already know that Kiriat Arba is in the land of Canaan? So what does this add to us? What is it teaching us? One of the things that it might be teaching us is that Sarah, which represents the body, dies in the land of Canaan because the land of Canaan is hinting to merchants, business, dealing with physicality, not necessarily spirituality. And this is what causes the body to die. Verse 3. And Abraham arose from before his dead, and he spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and an inhabitant with you. Give me burial property with you, so that I may bury my dead from before me. And this is the verse where Abraham is referring to himself as the Ger. Tashuv, or the stranger who is returning. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Listen to us, my lord. You are a prince of God in our midst. In the choicest of our graves, bury your dead. None of us will withhold his grave from you to bury your dead. But the issue is, Jewish people do not bury their dead in the same cemetery as non-Jewish people. There's a separation that's created. And the explanation given by the Kabbalah is that the children of Israel have a larger desire to receive, and therefore their bodies have a larger desire to receive for negativity when the soul leaves them. And so they need to be separated from the other people. But Abraham doesn't say that, as we will find out. Verse 7. And Abraham arose and prostrated himself to the people of the land, to the sons of Heth. And he spoke with them, saying, If it is your will that I bury my dead from before me, listen to me, and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the Machpelah cave, Machpelah, as we learn from the studying the Ari's writings, means double. So give me the Machpelah cave, which belongs to Ephron, him, which is at the end of his field. For a full price, let him give it to me in your midst for burial property. Now Ephron was sitting in the midst of the sons of Het, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of Het, of all those who had come into the gate of his city, saying, question to be asked is, why is Ephron a Hittite sitting in the among the group of the children of Het? Was Ephron a Het? Was he a member of the people of Het? And that's what the meaning of Hittite is? I'm not clear. I'm not sure. Verse 11. No, my Lord, listen to me. I have given you the field and the cave that is in it. I have given it to you. Before the eyes of the sons of my people, I have given it to you. Bury your dead. And Abraham prostrated himself before the people of the land. And he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, but if only you would listen to me, I am giving the money for the field. Take it from me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron replied to Abraham, saying to him, my Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver. What is it between me and you? Bury your dead. And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out to Ephron the silver that he had named in the hearing of the sons of Het, 400 shekels of silver accepted by the merchant. That's the end of the English translation for the first Aliyah. There is a question in our minds. If Ephron was giving it, why did Abraham need to exchange money for it? And why did Ephron first say he gave it and then say he wanted 400 shekels? This is an idea and a description of how people are supposed to negotiate with each other. At least that's what the sages have told us. Now let's look at the second Aliyah. Second Aliyah runs from the Genesis chapter 23, verse 17, just continuing from the first Aliyah, to chapter 24, verse 9. This is a total of 13 verses, and we know what the 13 is connecting to: unity. Verse 17. Vayakam sade Ephron asher Machpelah asher livnei Mamre Asade v'hamara asher bo v'kol ha'et asher basade asher v'kol gedulo saviv. Le'Avraham, le'mikna le'enei v'nechet, v'kol ba'ei sa'ar yiro. V'acharei kein gavar, Avraham et Sarah ishto el Et Avraham Bakol. Vayomer Avraham El Avdo. Vekam Beto. Am Shel. Vekol Ashelo. Sim. Nayad Chatahat. Yereki. Vyashkiacha. Badonai yo hewahe adanu yo yo ahedawanu heyo Elohe hashamayim velohe haret asher lo tikach isha divni imebenot akena ani Asher anochi yoshev kirbo. Ki el artzi v'el molati elech v'lakachta. Isha livni liyitzak. Vayomer elav ha'eved ulai lo toveh. Aisha lalechet acharai el haaret hazot. Ha'echa shev ashiv et bincha el haaret asher yatzata misham. Vayomer elav Avraham hishamer. Lecha ben tashiv et b'nei b'ni shama. Adonai yohewahe adanu yo. Yohahe dawanu heyo. Elohe hashamayim asher lekachani mi beit avi. Umeretz moladeti, wa'asher diberli, wa'asher nishbali, le'mor lezaracha, eten et haretz, azot hu yishlach malako, lif lefanecha. Velakachta yishalivni misham ve'im lo tobeh ha'isha lalechet acharecha v'nikita mishvuati zot rak et b'ni lo tashev shama. Vayashet vayasem ha'eved et yado tachat yerech Avraham Adonav vayishava lo al hadavar hazeh. Now for the English translation. And so the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, facing Mamre, was established as Abraham's possession. And this included the field and the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within its entire border around. It was to Abraham as a possession before the eyes of the sons of Heth, in the presence of all who had come within the gate of the city. And afterwards, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, facing Mamre, which is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the question we need to ask is, what do we learn from all of these different terms, which we already know where the cave of Machpelah is it that it's in the field of Machpelah, but, and we also know it's facing Mamre, so what do we learn? Which is Hebron, so what do we learn? In the land of Canaan, so what do we learn? And the field and the cave within it were established to Abraham as burial property, purchased from the sons of Heth. And Abraham was old, advanced in days, and the Lord had blessed Abraham with everything. The word for everything is bakol. And we'll learn from the writings of the Ari that Bakol is the name of his daughter, Abraham's daughter. And Abraham said to his servant, the elder of his house, who ruled over all that was his, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will adjure you by the Lord, the God of the heaven and the God of the earth, that if you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose midst I dwell, but you shall go to my land and to my birthplace, and you shall take a wife for my son, for Isaac. And the servant said to him, perhaps a woman will not wish to go after me to this land. Shall I return your son to the land from which you came? And Abraham said to him, beware, lest you return my son back there. The Lord, God of the heavens, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke about me and who swore to me, saying, to your seed will I give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman will not wish to go after you, you will be absolved of this my oath. Only do not return my son back there. And the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and he swore to him concerning this matter. That is the end of today's class. Are there any questions?
I have a question. The daughter of Abraham, Bakol, was that from Torah, or is that from?
It's from the sages in the Talmud. But you follow this logic to it. It says that Abraham is blessed with everything. If a man does not have a son and a daughter, mm-hmm. He has to return to this world.
Why?
If Abraham only had sons, then he would have to reincarnate. So the concept of everything. Abraham is blessed with coal, with everything, is a connection to the fact that he has a daughter. And since the Torah doesn't mention it, and the Torah tries to limit words, the sages interpreted the name or the word Bakol to mean everything. That's the translation, with everything. And that was the blessing that Abraham received from Hashem. He was blessed with everything. And everything includes a daughter as well as a son.
But we don't know if it's from Sarah or from Keturah, right?
We have no knowledge of what is the source.
Okay.
We just know that he was blessed with everything, and that includes a daughter. And since this word is being used in the parasha of Chaye Sarah, it would indicate that this would have taken place after Sarah died. So his daughter must have come from Keturah. Any other questions?
I know the cave where Sarah was buried is a gateway to the Garden of Eden, or the great gateway to the beginning of creation. What I'm thinking is that in the north? Is that north? Is that considered a north territory from?
I'm not that familiar with the geography in order to answer your question. But if you ask, if you go on Google and literally ask that question, is the cave of Machpelah in the north of Israel, they'll answer you. Or you'll find the answer among the what they return as in answer to that query. I'm just not familiar with the geography that well.
But do you have any patience what all of that description is?
Say again.
Do you have any teachings, or have you learned from your teachers the significance of the description of that, of the Sarah's burial site, and the detailed description?
Well, there's a number of different verses in the Zohar that relate to the different code words, so it's kind of hard to present it. But it says it's in Mamre, and Mamre connects to Bina. Mamre also connects to the world that is coming. I don't remember what Hebron connected to. I do that the word Canaan is connected to being a merchant. So there are different aspects of it all.
Okay. I'll do a little research.
Understood.
Hello. I have a question.
Go ahead, Brandy.
Okay. Whenever we study about directions, northeast, southwest, it's always connected to a Sephiroth. So is that why they stress the different directions? This was in the north, that was in the south, this was in the east. Is it to kind of give you a hint as to which Sephiroth it's connected to?
Yes.
I love your answers. So if it's in the north, which Sephiroth is it connected to?
Geburah is connected to the north.
So Geburah is judgment, right?
Yes. It's also strength. It's also restraint. But it's also judgment. You know, there's not just one adjective that can be used to describe each Sephiroth.
Okay.
So go ahead with where you're going with this.
Well, where I'm going with it, since the cave was in the north, Machpelah was in the north, does that mean that Abraham considered a judgment on himself? That's why he bought it?
That's a possibility. He bought it because his wife had died.
Right.
Why did she die? On one level, she died out of the Midrash says that the Satan showed her the binding and that the knife was coming down on Isaac from the binding of Isaac. And the first word in the parasha has a leading vav, which connects it to the story of the previous section, which is the binding of Isaac. So some say she died of fright. Others have different explanations for why she died. The real reason she died is that as the mother of Isaac, she helped him with his tikkun. She helped train him to deal with his tikkun. And as the wife of Abraham, she was always helping him with his tikkun. When the two of them experienced the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, they both had completed their tikkun, except for what would come after them in the sense of history. So they needed to have more children and so forth. But their tikkun, their overall tikkun that they were in this world to accomplish, was achieved with the binding. Isaac, being the left column, had accepted his relationship to the right column. And the right column had demonstrated, Abraham had demonstrated his willingness to go outside of his normal nature to bind his son. With that in mind, their tikkunim were completed. There was no longer a purpose for Sarah to stay in the world. So she died.
Wow. That's awesome.
It also explains to a great extent what we all know, that women tend to outlive their husbands. What is the purpose of them outliving their husband is that they still have things to help guide their children with respect to their the children's tikkun. The husband leaving the world is an indication that the tikkun is over, or that for whatever one of the reasons that people die, Hashem had taken that their husband. They outlive their husband because they still have things to do with respect to their children's tikkun and helping their children achieve their tikkun.
Well, I know that my dad, he died in 98 of lung cancer. Okay. So then my mother lived another 2 years till the year 2000. And then she passed away. But in that moment there, then so many months later, my oldest brother passed away. So within that year, I lost three different people that were close to me, my mother and my brother and one other. And so I guess all of their tikkuns were, I guess they completed them.
Let's hope so.
Well, I hope so. And I'm still working on mine because I'm still here.
Exactly. Does anyone else have any questions? Have a good week. Shavua Tov and Shalom Gadol. Much peace and happiness.
We have a class at 1, right?
Yes, your time it's 1.
1.
It's 11 o'clock West Coast time. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.